Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Check, 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 check. Voiceover Coffee Shop. Episode number 31.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there, my name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to know more about me, feel free to visit my personal website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have coffee with my dear friend, Mark Growl. Mark is an award-winning voiceover artist who has produced demos for the stars like John DiMaggio and Randy Thomas, and has been featured in some of the most iconic games and animated series of our time, from Avatar The Last Airbender, Ratchet & Clank, and World of Warcraft, to name just a few. In this episode, we talk about auditions from the director's perspective, putting the essence of you into an MP3, road mapping the script to find out what the client really wants, and secrets to demo production. How are you doing today, Mr. Graham?
Doing awesome, man. It's nice to thank you for having me. It's nice to kind of just sit down and get a little reprieve from all the crapola in the studio and just sit down and talk for a little bit, man, and have some fun.
Absolutely. So how do you take your coffee in the morning? How does your day start?
Black with caffeine. You know what's funny is back when I was in radio, it was, of course, everybody smoked as well. So it was coffee and cigarette. But I mean, it was just a constant barrage of coffee. Now I have a cup in the morning and I'm usually good to go. You know, I just, because it's a very quick, this process, it's, my day starts at about 6:30 to 7 a.m. in the morning, returning emails, because bi-coastal kind of stuff, getting auditions turned out, that sort of thing. And then start with actual jobs, usually at about, depending, but usually around 9 a.m. And then that goes, and then we'll slip in, a few coaching sessions as well. So,
gotcha. You've got a pretty packed day.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's not unusual, to do a 12, 14 hour. Now I'm trying, obviously, because of this back surgery thing that I had, go a little bit slower, because they're saying it, you get stupid. Oh, well, I'll feel great. Oh, I can do this. And it's like, no, don't do, just something as mundane as bending down to pick up a package. Oh, Amazon. It's like, oh shit. Shouldn't have done that. So it's a slow process basically. But what it is basically is payback for all those years of surfing big waves and karate and all of that kind of fun stuff. And now body's going, all right, buddy, time to pay up, So that was basically it.
So what's your kind of your origin story into this industry? Like, where did you start? Well, you said you used to do karate.
Oh yeah. I did all kinds of, did MMA stuff. I did all kinds of stuff back when I was a stupid ass kid. Sure. You know, I'm an old guy now, so now my body is going, that's too bad. Stop hearing me. Now it's time to pay. No, I got involved with Dawes Butler. If for those of you who don't know, was the voice of Quick Draw McGraw. Dawes is my godfather. I grew up at Channel 5 here in LA. I was actually born in Hollywood at Queen of Angels. That's why I'm screwed up. And so one of the rare people was talking about actually born in Hollywood. My dad used to anchor news at Channel 5, KTLA here. On Gower Street. And back then, as a very, very young kid, a couple of guys, Dawes Butler and Stan Freeberg, did a live puppet show called Time for Beanie. And, hey, Beanie Boy, they be doing all this kind of stuff, you know. And so I'd go in and watch. They didn't have stage lighting at that point. They had these huge pieces of plywood with the gigantic lights. I mean, they were, I don't know, 600 watt. I mean, it looks like, you know, nuclear holocaust. It's like, geez, you know. So he's in there doing the thing. Hey, Beanie, da-da, and the puppet starts and he goes, oh, shit. You know, and as a kid, it was like, God, this is cool. Puppets in bad language, you know. And of course, my mom was like, you're not going on that set again. So I grew up in that. And you know, so the celeb kind of thing, I mean, my, you know, people would ask for my dad's autograph and stuff, and I never quite, it was like, you know, he'd still whip my butt at home or what, it was just your dad. It was the same thing with my kids. They could care, you know, their friends would go, God, can we go to the studio? And it was like, I don't want to go, it's stupid, it's boring, you know. Anyway, did that, went to, you know, college, got a Bachelor of Arts, an AA degree in broadcasting, a BA in mass communications, thought I was going to take the world by storm, did radio in all these hotbeds of media stuff like Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, Oregon, Washington, San Francisco. And then, but my first love was always production. So doing, and even on the air, I had a cast of characters that I would bring in and do, you know, which the audience loved. Management, well, not that much, you know, the door would usually fly open. I can't believe you just said that. Now apologize on the air. and I just, at that time, it was very unstable. It was like, you know, we just want you to meet with a consultant. It's like, let me get my stuff and put it in the car because we know where this is going. And so I, when I came back up to LA, after this, doing all this, I BS'd my way into a huge music studio at the time, which was like the spot. In fact, I almost knocked Pat Benatar over coming out. It was like, oh my God, wow, this is, you know, incredible. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to start a media studio, Studio 5, and doing, you know, radio commercials, TV spots, album spots. So they figured they could tie it in with, you know, Warner Brothers, and we do a spot for, you know, Rod Stewart's new album, you know, that kind of stuff. And it fell flat. It was, they realized very quickly that they could make a lot more money doing a lockout with a band. Cause at that time they were still paying, you know, obscene amounts of money. You know, it was like, well, we give you, you know, a $2 million advance, you know, that kind of thing. And they'd basically just do massive amounts of cocaine and hang out. So how, I don't know, but I met a lot of really wonderful, in fact, I met my first agent, Don Pitts, who is an absolute iconic, really legendary voiceover agent in town. And I remember sitting in his office, and it was like, you know, Orson Welles and Casey Kasem and Gary Owens. And I, you know, it was just like, oh my God. I mean, it was pretty magnificent. Mel Blanc. I mean, it was pretty staggering. And June Foray. And anyway, started there. And then I basically, when they folded that, I don't ask me how, I actually talked them into selling me the entire studio on credit that I had none of, which was non-existent. And I actually was living in this just crappy guest house behind a landlord who would come out and yamarte or catch in my yard, you know, and build literally half the house took up, it was a studio. And so that's how I actually started, a great big console of machines. And it took off there, did well enough that I moved into a little building on Hollywood Boulevard and North Gramercy Place, and then doubled in size, tripled in size, quadrupled in size. And then it got a little rough. I still remember Julie Andrews walking in very prim and proper. Hey, bitch. It's like, oh my God. No, and she was very classy and just kind of let it slough off. It was like, oh boy. But did well enough there that I ended up moving the place out to Burbank, which at the time seemed like the hell and gone. You know, it was like, oh my God, Burbank from Hollywood. I mean, it's over the hill, you know, and I've been out there ever since, you know. Yeah. And the voice wise, interesting, I've done a ton of voices and all kinds of stuff and jobs. I'd never auditioned for anything. And somebody had said, you really should get out and see, they're holding general auditions at Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, wow.
It was like, cool. And the director at that time was Gordon Hunt, Helen Hunt's dad. Mm-hmm. All of the people that you see, Andrea Romano, and most of them, Chris Zimmerman, all started out as like assistants for Gordon. And so I had no idea how it worked. So I wrote this script. It was, you know, I think they thought I was on crack. You know, it was like, now we'll have to find the great knower of stuff. You make me great, great. Yes, no, one great is enough. I mean, it was just, but they said, my goodness, get, you know, you get yourself an agent. We'll have it out here working tomorrow. And it was like, wow. So I called Don, my friend at that point, Pitts, and Don said, yeah, come on. Hey, Mark, how are you? Nice sweater. You know, kind of that was Don, and signed me. And that's how that started.
Man, so how much of your work now is direct marketing versus agency?
Direct marketing, not really. It's I don't. I mean, it's because you have an agent that handles it. And two, I mean, I've been very, very, very fortunate. I've been doing this actually coming up on 48 years. And so at this point, reputation-wise, et cetera, it's lucky enough that it still kind of just comes to you. And the interesting thing career-wise is that it's been intermingled as a producer, a director, as talent, as data. So it's kind of, it gives you a little bit different skew on stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not just like going to the booth and dealing with this director, it's that, but sometimes that director is now at my studio. So I'm sitting in the control, kind of, you know, seeing what the action is on this side of the glass. So it's a little different perspective.
So how much of your director perspective helps like with your audition process whenever you are submitting auditions? Like,
Very much. Very much so. It really, the whole key with an audition is don't, you know, people, it's very funny. You get a script and, you know, you're gregarious. You've got this great sense of, you know, personality. Sense of time. You put a script in front of you and it's like, okay, you're filling out a financial form. And it's like, everybody gets all, oh, don't color outside the lines. And it's like, why? It's no different than if you're doing, you know, it's on camera night and it's you know, monologue night. Well, you don't want to get up and do exactly verbatim what the 8, 10, 12 people in front of you did. You want to bring you to it. So that's the same sense with this, with the script. And it's interesting. It's even more of a challenge now because you don't get to work the room. You know, it's not like you're walking in and the casting director goes, hey, Mark, how you been? Oh, yeah, we worked together on da-da-da, whatever. And you've got people there that are mingling. And now everything is based off of an MP3. So the essence of you needs to come through that. Everybody has the same script. So what are you going to do to make that thing shine and really go, whoa, come here, you got to check this guy out. And that's the key.
So in your coaching, how are you kind of teaching your students how to make themselves shine through with just that MP3?
Just that. Yeah, there's all kinds of nifty little tricks that you can do that, you know, things a lot of the time you'll see a lot of stuff now that's not slating. Also, you know, direction. You can kind of tell. The interesting thing with direction, many, many, many times you'll get, you know, 3/4 of the page's backstory. He was born on the planet Flarkets and raised by the Clicky people. That's great. What kind of voice do you want? Then when he was younger, he moved to the dead and lived in a forest with elves. That's great. What kind of voice do you want? Then he moved, and you know, so it kind of goes and goes and goes. And I get that. The backstory is wonderful. But what happens is, if they knew really specifically what they wanted, it's not like they couldn't just go hire that person. Right. You know, so the key, and we've all done that as talent, where this was the direction, and then, you know, you hear it and go, I could have done Gay Jamaican. Why didn't they tell me that? I mean, it's, you know, whatever it is, you know, so right. it's like, what the hell? And we've all done that, where you've seen or heard the spot and go, geez, man, that's 180 degrees out of where they were originally, you know, where the direction was going. Mm-hmm. So I always look, I mean, direction is very much like Pirates of the Caribbean. Well, it's not exactly rules, it's more guidelines. And that's really what it is. It's like, you know, you don't want to go off base and be crazy and make anybody upset, but the key to this, everybody has the same copy, so bring you to it. That's the only thing that's different, you know, your pacing, your interpretation, your timing, all of that. And then there's certain things to overcome, because we all have it, you know, you have a very specific way when you read out loud, you're going to punch this word, and mm-hmm. it doesn't, and then let's do take two, and you're going to punch this word, and let's do take three, you're going to punch this word, because brain, that seems very natural to you. So it's overcoming that and changing that up, where all of a sudden, you know, if you're punctuating, it's something, a different word, phrasing is different, timing, pacing, all of that. And that's what really gives you a lot of the time we think we're doing a different take, and it's like, no, all you did basically was you were loud and quiet. you know. So, you know, and it's not necessarily that different. The other thing I always suggest is you know, if you have, you know, unless voice matching, that's a whole different beast, obviously, then it needs to be not close, it needs to be dead on. I'm a terrible voice matcher. I, you know, it's like I'll go in and go, yes, and come out and go, oh, hell no, we're not sending that, you know. But it's you know, like you'll get YouTube links and, oh, it's like that, but it's, you know, it's like William H. Macy, if he had, you know, Wilford Brimley's voice from way back when, except comedy timing like Jim Carrey, but a voice like James Earl Jones. It's like, who are we talking to now, Sybil? I mean, it's kind of all over the place. And what happens is that you now, every take you do is simply going to be a bad impression of what you just heard. So I call it road mapping. Roadmap the copy. Go through. You can tell the way copy is written. You know, is this guy swarmy? Is he straight up? Is it commercial? Is it, you know, everybody talks about the authentic read, which is very true on some pieces. If it's a piece where you're talking about cancer or, you know, a headache or something, but it's personal, it's like, you know what, this, or you're talking to people that are going through that. It's very authentic, it's from the heart, and that's what you're selling is emotion. But if it's, you know, some silly, you know, kind of off the cuff, you know, kind of spot. I mean, Patrick Warburton has made bazillions doing his John Wayne impression, kind of, with that kind of cocky thing that he does.
Yeah, that little cocky great. Little.
Yeah, but his timing is great, you know, and he does awesome with that. But that's, I wouldn't call that an authentic read. You know, so it really depends on what that copy is. People have a tendency in this business to generalize and go, oh, okay, well, this is what it is. And it's like, in some instances, yes, but a lot not. You know, it's, you know, video games, animation, if you're doing a demo, it's not quantity, it's quality. You know, I've had people that, I do a dead on Homer Simpson, yo, and it's like, well, that wasn't dead on and Dan's not going anywhere. So why put it on there? You know, and so it's just, you know, it's be true to thine own self, you know, do what you do and just do it a notch better. You know, if you sing and sing well, then do that as a, you know, a ballad kind of thing. If you sing crappy, like in my case, then I'll sing in character and sing about toe jam and boogers or something wonderful. You know, it just depends on what it is, you know. So it's just doing what you do. That's all.
Gotcha. And I heard from a student of yours that a tip that you suggested was reading the lines out of sequence.
Well, if it's video game, that's certain because the video game lines are not interconnected. I mean, unless it says ongoing, continued, line two may not happen for another 40 minutes in the game. The only reason I say that is, again, that if you start with line two and then go up to the top, well, that's very different than what everybody else is going to do. And it's not like, oh my God, he started on the second line. You know, it's like you're still reading the same, you know, it just makes them go, oh, what's this? It's different. That's all, even though it's still their copy. And embellishing, it's like ad-libbing. Ad-libbing is great if you do it and do it well, but ad-libbing is not like, oh, well, I'm going to put in a laugh. Or gosh, gee, I was thinking. That's not an ad-lib. You know, right. It needs to be relatable to that first line. You know, and sometimes there's a good place to do that, and sometimes it's not. You know, if you're doing promos aren't a good spot to be doing ad-libs. They're more looking like, you know, shave a hundredth of a tenth of a second off.
Gotcha. So you've also produced a lot of demos, and I've heard a lot of the demos that you've produced. I've heard Randy Thomas's demo that you produced. I heard Joe DiMaggio's demo that you produced. What made you want to start getting into the demo production game?
Again, when it first started with radio, it was because that was a good place to hide. I could go in the production, turn the light on so nobody's going to come in and they'd leave you alone. But I've always enjoyed, there's something inherently wonderful about, you know, creating emotion and taking someone's voice. And I've had people literally standing there crying, going, oh my God, this is just, because you really kept, you know, absolutely nailed the emotion. You know, you just can, and that's, you really captured that. And when you do, that in turn, it's no different than a joke. If something's funny, if you laugh, chances are the other people are going to laugh as well. And that's a good thing. And it's, so it's fun. It's creative as far as writing. It's a creative endeavor because you have kind of control over what you want to do, like making a gag out of something that maybe isn't funny. So when you're directing a session, you're actually thinking in terms of, okay, this is kind of what's going to, so it's not just here's this, here's this, here's this, but in terms of, okay, so this will be really cool because I can end on that and it'll roll into this. And you'll notice most of the demos sound, it sounds like they're all the pieces are supposed to fit where they are, mm-hmm. because it just kind of rolls. It's not jarring. And that's the key, is just to make it one nice hit play and keep your fingers off the pause button. Right. That's what
we're looking to do. So what do you do outside of the booth? Like what, I mean, I'm, a lot of people are very familiar with your work, including me, but mm-hmm. what does Mark Grau do to recharge his batteries outside of the booth? What do you enjoy?
The funny thing is with COVID, I've got like a 650 square foot gym here at the house. It's got all the data and all this stuff. The problem is since maybe I haven't been able to do any, but it's a nice thing to get the blech out of, you know, because it's like, which we all do. It's interesting. And then you'll notice that, you know, online has got very vindictive. I did a Trump parody for Bill Maher.
You were nominated for it.
I got within 40-45 minutes probably 20,000 death threats. People were just like, "Well, it's not funny," and so I just, you know, so it's weird that the country is, and I think a lot of that has to do with the internet because it's very, well, you don't agree with me, screw you, delete. You know, so everybody's got these little camps. The creative stuff, I like doing that. Music wise is kind of fun. I do that. I've got guitars. I'm not good by any means. I mean, good enough that I can stumble along, you know, but that kind of stuff. I've got an absolutely gorgeous yard, you know, with a waterfall that you can swim back behind and stuff. And so that's kind of, that's the other thing. I can't get in that yet either because of incision stuff. So it's like, so I have all this cool shit I can't use. It's great. travel, used to love that, obviously not doing much of that now. So really, you know, kind of like everybody else is doing, just kind of hanging in there and trying to get my, I'm not a gamer. I mean, I've done a zillion games. I saw somebody saying, you can't really do games unless you play them. And it's like, well, that's a crock of crap. I mean, you have it, you know, it's like, I'm too old. My fingers are too fat. You have a director telling you what's going, you know, do them. Oh, okay, sure. You know, and it's being really prepared, you know, for whatever comes your way. Realize that in this, our job is to fit what they want. And if they go, you know, I just had one that's a big game that's coming out. And it was like, can you make this so like he just ate the guy, but he's puking up the bones? It was like, you guys really need to get out more, maybe discover girls or something, quit living in your mom's basement. But it's like, yeah, you know, sure. And so don't get thrown off and go, you know, deer in the headlights. That's not really one of the things. It's like, why not? You know, just be prepared for whatever comes. I had talked a little bit about that too, the redundancy, even equipment wise, be prepared for whatever comes up. I had a session, Source Connect just wouldn't work. Evidently, this is interesting, which I didn't know. Source Connect is mostly Mac, works seamlessly with Mac. But if you're locking up with a PC, I guess they have a different platform that's Linux or something, mm-hmm. So it sometimes gets wanky to save it. Just ended up doing a Zoom direct session, recorded the Pro Tools and sent them files, and everybody was happy. But it's like, just be prepared for whatever may come. Do you know what I mean? So that you can, so it's not like, and something completely throws you off your game and you're not sure what to do. You know, the thing is too, is that, you know, there is more to this and not, you know, it not trying to sound, or this, that, or the other thing. And I understand financial things as far as people, you know, not having money, but you know, you can't, you know, I've had people, so I really want to get into voiceover and like record stuff on my phone. And it's like, well, you're competing with people that have major set, and talk to some people in the business that can kind of point you in the right direction. You just assume, ooh, I just upgraded to it's like a Radio Shack mic. It's like, well, there's an upgrade. I mean, it's, you know, and not, you know, I understand it gets expensive, but if you're throwing your hat in the ring and if you want to compete at that level, it's going to cost you a little bit of money to do that. It doesn't mean you have to spend a fortune, not at all, you know, but at the same time, if you're serious about doing this, you know, throwing your USB mic and hooking that up to your PC, which is the fans going, you know, and there's cars going, you know, I did that. I got very cocky. You hear them, thought, ooh, I'm building my studio in the pool house. Yeah, I'm all okay. That. And so I got it all set, and it was tonight on the NBC. Montares, corre, agarra el clavo. Here go the blowers. It was like, welcome to Los Angeles. I mean, when the gardeners, it was like, I think we'll go back in the house. So that's, you know, but it's just, it's really, you know, just having kind of a contingency plan in the back. If something comes up, it's like, oh yeah, sure. Just a workaround, you know, just in case, you know. I've got, you know, a situation here where I've got a whole nother iMac and stuff sitting in another one. So it's like, if you get new, boom, it's, yep, we're going, let's go, you know?
Right.
And just, you know, being prepared, but it really do, you know, do something different, you know, maybe think a little outside of what's on the script, you know, and that doesn't mean going off into La La Land and doing a bunch of stuff that makes no sense whatsoever. You right. still need to stick to what's going on, but it's like, if it's an animation script, well, maybe if you're replying to a character, what if you use his name? It's not, oh my God, he called him by name. It's like, well, you guys named the character. I mean, it's not like that's all of a sudden going to be a huge, but it just sets you a little bit apart. That's all.
Gotcha. Man, you are just full of knowledge. If you were to...
Well, that's one way of putting it. I've heard it. Oh, sorry.
You were to take a letter. And you were to write yourself a letter and then send it back in time to your radio days, and you were to give yourself a piece of knowledge, what would that letter say?
Keep the prize in mind. Know that if you realize that, you know, VO people, we all started at the same point. We started the same place.
Right.
You know, and so, but everybody has that thing where they're looking, oh, well, boy, he's in this and that. And it's like, you know, yes, have I been successful? Yes, I have. And I feel great about it. However, realize that it's taken 48 years to get there.
Right.
But it's a great business. It's paid through, you know, 2 divorces, 4 houses, put 3 kids through college. So, I mean, life is, you know, it's fine. But realize that light at the end, it's never a direct line. You'll be over here. You'll be over there. Just keep your, you know, it will. Can it happen quickly? Certainly. Chances are it won't. It's going to take some time. But, you know, it's, you can always do a great example is my son, when he was born, he has cerebral palsy. And people go, oh God, and they're saying, there's no, oh God, it's great. However, when the doctors came in, it was like on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, he's about an 11. So he's never going to walk. He won't speak. He won't, you know, do this, do that. And, you know, you go through the tears as a dad. And then it's like, and for me, that's about 30 seconds. And it's like, okay, that's him. It's done. And again, you can either go to this path, which is light and okay. That's the hand that's dealt. What are we going to do? Or you can do the morose, oh, shit. Oh, you know, and turn into Eeyore. Well, I might as well take my old gray ass outside. You know, it's like, no, you know. So now he goes on tour with Jacqueline Smith from Charlie's Angels and speaks in front of thousands of people for Special Olympics and does all, I mean, you know, way ahead of like, well, that's very interesting for a kid that would never walk, never speak, never, you know.
Right.
So it, you know, you can always take, you know, that too bad. You can either look at the positive, and especially with COVID and stuff right now, it's pretty easy to lock into the negatives and go, oh God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I just, you know, but there is always, just sit down and go, okay, well, you know, that's the hand that was dealt. So, okay, you know what, instead of this, now I'm going to do this, but it's still going to get me to that point where I want to be. It's just not necessarily going to be the same route. Instead of flying first class, well, I may have to take a bus and hitchhike a couple of miles, but I will get there.
Right. Well, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Absolutely, buddy. I was thrilled. Thank you so much for having me.
I really hope you enjoyed listening to Mark talk about his start in the voiceover industry and how time, energy, and dedication to the craft have made him one of the most iconic voices of our time. If you'd like to know more about Mark, you can visit him at www.markgrau.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.vocoffeeshop.com.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.